Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in its 20th year. I'm Roger Gross, the editor-at-large for GGB, and this week we speak with Gary Musich, the president and CEO of Visit Atlantic City. After a long career directing the meeting and convention business at several Atlantic City casino hotels, Gary Musich joined the Atlantic City Convention and Visitors Authority in 2005, becoming the vice president of sales for Visit Atlantic City when it was formed in 2023 and was elevated to the president and CEO in 2024. His knowledge of the casino business blends seamlessly with the efforts to bring the convention business to the Atlantic City Convention Center and its partners in the casino hotels of Atlantic City. He's been instrumental in helping to change the culture in Atlantic City when it comes to meetings and conventions, and explains why it is such an important element during the efforts to help Atlantic City casinos compete with New York City casinos over the next 4 years prior to their full implementation. He spoke with me about his plans in his offices at the Convention Center in July. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is Gary Musich, the CEO of Visit Atlantic City, the company that's the agency that's involved with bringing visitors to Atlantic City, whether it be meetings, conventions, or just as tourists. So Gary and I go way back, like many of the people that I interview. So Gary, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Great. Well, it's a difficult time for Atlantic City. You know, we've been through a lot. You know, I mean, I don't even want to go back to the pandemic, but, you know, we're just recovering from that. And now we're facing kind of an existential threat from casinos in New York, full-fledged, you know, real casinos with table games and the regular slot machines, right, and all the amenities of resorts. So what can Visit AC do to kind of mitigate that kind of impact?
So we actually started that process a year and a half ago, mm-hmm, when Visit Atlantic City acquired all of the marketing assets and took responsibility for branding, messaging, and everything marketing the destination. So it's not just meetings, trade shows. We took the leisure piece on.
Right.
And we started building on that. So if you look at what we've done with Visit Atlantic City, we started preparing. We look at what we did with visitatlanticcity.com and how we built that out to be a resource for visitors of all, mm-hmm, types.
Right.
And the whole process of Visit Atlantic City and our purpose changed at that point.
Right.
So I would tell you that we started a year and a half ago. We've made a lot of progress. You can see the messaging and narrative change. You've gone from really what was a negative discussion about Atlantic City, right? Beach concerts went away, this went away, and that went away, to, wow, look at what they're doing now. Oh, I saw your advertising. I saw your commercials, mm, your digital efforts, tremendous. Your meeting business continues to grow. So we've changed the discussion,
right,
which is a big part of how you combat. It's not the first time we've been through this in Atlantic City, but this playbook's a little bit different for us.
Sure, sure, absolutely. So one of your assets is the Boardwalk Hall, which is a great place to see a concert. I went to see The Who last summer and had a great time. Sound is really usually pretty good in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously it depends on the acts, but it doesn't seem to be utilized as much as it could be. You know, I think there's maybe something in there, some big show in there, maybe once every month or something. Or
No, that's not correct.
That? Okay.
Yeah. So one of the things, so back to, you know, part of the acquisition and part of our strategic plan. Mm-hmm. On the leisure side of it, right? People have to remember, if you break up our business here, right, half of what we do is meeting, trade show, and events, and that part of the business in Atlantic City is as big as major cities.
Right.
We do that with minimal air service, and we manage to bring 1 million people in here a year and utilize over 500,000 room nights just in the meeting, trade show,
right,
and conference business. The leisure piece behaves different, and we put strategically events like The Who, parades, mm-hmm, air shows and things like that, I put those into the leisure event category,
sure,
that drives leisure travel.
Right.
So let's go back to last year. Part of that in that plan on a long-term basis to build and partner with everybody involved in that business. So, mm-hmm, promoters, our partner with OVG, who actually operates the building.
Right.
We now partner with them on how do you drive business here. And we decided, okay, hey, there's a good way to do this. We already do it with convention business. So,
right,
whether, you know, people look into this or not, everything is incentivized in some way, shape, or form. And if you want to compete with not just concerts, but boxing. Right. You know, let's go back to April 16th, the Boots Ennis fight, one of the biggest fights you've had in this city and in Boardwalk Hall in a decade.
Yeah.
If you wanted it here instead of Atlanta, that takes a partnership, it takes sponsorships, it takes site fee subsidies, it takes some effort to do that. So we put a plan together that says, how do we stimulate the city again to be an entertainment capital?
Mm-hmm.
So not just the Boots Ennis fight, but if you look at last year, Lil Wayne, the Who, Stevie Nicks last fall, that was all a partnership between and building relationship with promoters, working with OVG, and frankly coming up with a new business plan that can help bring new shows here. And we're continuing that now.
Okay.
It's important that it will continue to be a big part of our leisure event strategy going forward. Because look, you just brought it up. Everybody's talking about it. Entertainment's back. And what did it do? It stimulated the industry to say, hey, okay, you know, how do we compete with New York? Let's bring top name entertainment back.
Right.
Let's music's big again. Events are big again in Atlantic City.
Right. So in terms of the entertainment, do you have a buyer on staff or do you partner with some of the big entertainment companies like Live Nation?
So I say it's relationship building. To answer your question, we are also the Atlantic City Sports Commission, the Film Commission.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of what Visit Atlantic City is. So part of the sports and entertainment, we do have somebody on staff. That's on our sales staff, Dan Gallagher, whose responsibility is to help promote and bring in new entertainment. It varies, right? Pool tournaments, any kind of entertainment. The air show that drew 200,000 people that just finished was a tremendous success. So that's part of our marketing strategy going forward, part of our deployment, our sales deployment. It's a piece of his responsibility. It falls under Anthony Molina, our VP of sales.
Sure.
And we'll continue to work on that. So it's a significant part of our strategy.
Okay. So a few years ago, we had beach concerts, one or two a year, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it drove a lot of people to town, but those things have ended. Why has that happened?
Things change, right? Businesses change, how you manage and promote and draw new business change, a change in the convention world, leisure travel, how people travel, experiential travel, where they travel, all of that continues to evolve as time goes on. Part of our responsibility is that now it wasn't then. We have a new way of going about it. So the most important thing is relationships. Look, it's that in every segment of business, you have to build those relationships, trust one another. So we have built that relationship with Live Nation and companies like that to bring new business here.
Mm-hmm.
And that all ties into a more positive narrative. Why do we want you here? Making it easier for those companies to do business here, coming up with a good plan that makes it financially lucrative on both sides of us. But most important, it draws new travel here, new visitors.
Right.
So it has to be a varying type of entertainment. A week from today, WWE will be in Boardwalk Hall.
Okay.
You know, it's the first time in a long, long time.
Right.
Things like, you know, when you have the American Powerboat Association doing a major offshore boat race this weekend. Those type of things, and when you look at diversity in entertainment, it draws different crowds and different types of visitors to our city.
Right, no question. So the CRDA was behind a lot of those beach concerts, funding it. What is your relationship with the CRDA, and how do they help you promote events and things like that?
So we are technically under, and I'll touch a little bit on all of that.
Yeah.
We are a private company. Visit Atlantic City is a private company under contract by the CRDA.
Okay.
You know, we all have our, you know, what we're good at, you know, I applaud Eric Scheffler and the leadership there to give and restructure this and put marketing in marketing's hands because then they can focus on their mission developing and bringing new developers and investors into the city, which they're doing a wonderful job. So we have a board. The CRDA is on our board. We all work collectively. There's a history there because some of these events were handled by the CRDA. We approach it a little bit different because we're in this business.
Sure.
Relationships are different. We monetize and we want to do that and look at the economic impact of these events. And if you look out in October, they're back. The beach concerts are back. You have Rufus Du Sol August 29th playing on our beach. It's sold out already.
Mm-hmm.
35,000 was the sellout number. So they're back and back in a big way. And now we have the opportunity to start planning for 27, and we're already doing that.
Yeah, okay.
So we work very closely with one another. Again, I point that there, our chairman is the executive director of this year. We also have investors. We have the university. We have AtlantiCare. We have the casino industry, or the casino association. All have representatives on our board to help us make decisions on what's best for the destination going forward.
Okay. So obviously a big part of your business is selling conventions and getting the meetings in here. So how is your sales staff structured now that you've kind of changed the way the organization is
so
structured?
We it's changed significantly. And probably the biggest change is bringing Anthony Molino in from a major city like Chicago, the biggest convention city in the probably country.
Absolutely.
Who joined our staff a year ago, 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, he's here just a year. Bought a different view of things, redeployed the staff. We just came off the best production year, new business booked in 25 for the future. So we're looking at new things, new cities, deployment, meaning where are those sales folks pointed at, and what industries work in Atlantic City, and kind of starting from scratch. And when he came on board, we said, you know what, Anthony, this is your gig.
Yeah.
You know, you have free rein to rebuild and build on to what we had. We had a successful program. The city's in 25 had the biggest convention year it's ever had, but most important is this business is now booked out through 2033.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want. Further out, we can push it and get commitments from companies, organizations, associations, corporations, fraternal organizations. The healthier that market is,
sure.
Supply and demand, everything becomes higher demand, more expensive, but we're introducing the city to a different group of people.
Mm-hmm. Great. So we're sitting here in the Atlantic City Convention Center, which I thought was excellent when it was built, and it's still being kept up to date. I mean, it's still fresh, and the location. I know I was here when they were arguing about where the location would be, and it seems like it got in the right place at the foot of where the railroad comes into the city. How have you been able to continue to book that? You just mentioned it's booked out through 2033. That's pretty impressive.
So Visit Atlantic City does both. So we represent about 55% of the entire meeting, trade show, and convention market in the city. So we pretty much all the business in this building, in the convention center. But also we represent all the hotel and casino properties. So we partner with all those properties, event venues, you know, all the business partners that can affect this. All the restaurants, programs like Show Me Your Badge, where an attendee can go in and show their badge and get whatever offer that restaurant may be part of. So 55% of the market is significant in this case. So it's all facets of it. What we want to see in this building, you know, this building is a great building. It's 29 years old now. Mm-hmm. We'd like to see this be the hub of these development locations throughout the city, like the Orange Loop, for example, over in the inlet, and these big projects that are planned. So does it operate in an incredibly efficient way? It's far busier than what people realize.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, we're busy all the time. We're going to host 77 events this year.
Sure.
That's a lot. That's a big number for a building like this.
So one of the issues about this property has always been the lack of hotel rooms. Even though we have all these big casino hotel rooms in town, there's still not enough to host a really large trade show of, say, even 30,000 people, right?
Yeah, no, that's an old data point. We never have an issue. The point is it's not we have no issue with availability. It's not price. Like sometimes people say, oh, convention business, it's not price. It's product.
Mm-hmm.
We never have an issue getting rooms. It's a bigger part of the mix of business in Atlantic City, and that's a result of gaming expanding everywhere.
Right.
The economic impact that the attendee brings to this city is significant. The properties acknowledge that. One of the things that's happened in over this time period is this city used to have 700,000 square feet of event space, meeting right. space, excluding theaters and mm-hmm. Boardwalk Hall, but including this building. This city has almost 2 million now.
Right.
That means the hotels and casino properties are investing in it because it's an important sure. segment for them.
Right.
And that's how it's been able to grow to the size it is right now.
Yeah, yeah. We've seen some great convention spaces built. Harris just built a
Waterfront Conference Center there. Borgata expanded yeah. theirs. Hard Rock updated and renovated all of their space. Fantastic space, mm-hmm. as did Bally's. And throughout the city, every property has upgraded their facility to include a bigger part of this
sure,
business.
Sure. So the hotel that's actually connected to the convention center, the Sheraton, recently announced they're going to make half of their rooms condos and cut the other half for hotel rooms. How is that going to affect the property here?
Well, if the question is, do I think that's a good idea? The answer to that's no.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a good idea. But we're gonna you know shuffle and come up with a plan for that, which we have already.
Yeah.
It is what it is, and we'll. Adjust how we do business. It's important to have a headquarter hotel as part of this campus here.
Sure.
That's why I'd like to see it become a development hub for future development investment. I think it will be. If you look at what is being planned or at least talked about in expansion in New Jersey itself, the second bullet point on a proposed convention center, which is down the road in North Jersey, is a headquarter hotel. It's an important part of this. Can we work with that? Yes, because we have 18,000 rooms in this city. We have product that is as good as anything or better mm-hmm. than anything throughout destinations like this. We have great partnerships with those properties. The fallacy of getting rooms is just a fallacy now. Everybody wants a piece of this business. They're all partnering with us. They're participating sure. in our marketing calendar. If we have to, we'll add things like customized shuttle service, which you do for big groups now anyway. Mm-hmm. But some of the biggest groups we've ever booked were booked in 25 for the future. American Bus Association, 10,000. We host the Northeast Pool and Spa Association, 13,000. So we do it now.
Yeah.
It's logistic changes that will happen. As long as those rooms that they still remain there are of high quality,
mm-hmm.
Then we'll work with that.
Yeah.
And my understanding is that's the case. Is it the best scenario? No. Will we move and work with what we have? Yeah, because we have great facilities in this city.
Okay, great. So online gaming is legal in New Jersey. People don't realize, though, that the actual gaming part of online gaming has to happen in the mm-hmm. within the boundaries of Atlantic City. So I remember a few years, Continent 8 opened up, a server farm here
right.
in the convention center. How does that impact the way you operate the property?
It doesn't.
No.
There is no impact.
Yeah.
They're not leasing. They're building. They built out on space that wasn't used, unusable
okay.
space. It doesn't affect leasable space in the convention center itself. So exhibit space, any of the meeting room floors 3 and 4 doesn't affect any of that
okay.
at all.
Okay. So you mentioned that we've been kind of preparing for this impact for New York casinos for over a year and a half, and tell me how that happens. Is there an actual group put together that you are part of, or would you really like to see a group that is focused specifically on that? I mean, we do have 4 years here before the second and third casinos open
mm-hmm.
at least, so we have some time.
Yeah, everybody's obviously talking about it,
right.
I think the communication between business organizations and industry, whether it's the Chamber, the New Jersey Casino Association, all the economic development groups that are here, our neighborhood CDCs, ourselves, the CRD, everybody is having a common conversation about how do we go about this and what's part of creating Visit Atlantic City was
sure.
part of addressing that.
Right, yeah.
And then what's next? Beautification of the city, investment. The Live Work Coalition, which is a new group dedicated to residential development. If you look at what's going on in the Orange Loop, it's all taking our assets and continuing to improve it. Pave roads, we have to invest here.
Right.
That's starting to go on. There's a lot of people on the sideline, big projects and plans.
I think your audio stopped.
That's okay.
Okay.
We're good here. Those backup.
those projects continuing. We're all working on it together. You know, we have how's Visit Atlantic City part of that? Well, we're helping coordinate and work with those organizations, because why? We tour the city a lot. We tour potential customers of the city. We know the best way to look at this city. We work with transportation companies. We're doing that in conjunction with some of the business leadership to help with when investors come into town and developers and look at what opportunities are here for them. You have the state of New Jersey that's focused on how do we make it easier here to get investors and developers to build. And you look at the cost of real estate throughout the state of New Jersey is generally untouchable.
Right.
This is an opportunity here. And I point to the Orange Loop because if you drive through there and you see what's going on there, where it's restaurants, eateries, in entertainment, now residential development, of which are being sold already, that's the stuff. And then that, how does that help tourism? It's investment. People want to visit and work where people are investing and doing business, and it's all connected.
Yeah. We have some residents building, hopefully, on the end where the old Golden Nugget was, and on the opposite end of Pacific Avenue on the inlet where they're going to build some more townhouses up there. So that's all encouraging.
All encouraging. And I saw that the CRDA just passed the project down by the old, which was the, and we all remember it as the Atlantic City Hilton,
right?
The Atlantic Club. Again, you need those little hubs of investment to continue. And what happens there, right? The you have people moving in, you have people using the train, you have retail begins to open, roads get paved, residents take ownership in their community, and all of that leads to beautification, better visitor profile, more visitors, more conventions, more events on the beach, because now you have more residents.
Right. So 2026 is the 50th anniversary of the passage of the Casino Control Act. And so 2027, 28 will be the opening of the first casino. So that's the 50th anniversary of gaming in Atlantic City. That's pretty impressive number. And, of course, it spurred gaming all across the country, being only the second location where casinos were allowed in the U.S. And now, of course, they're all over the U.S., what should we do to celebrate that?
We're just starting those discussions. James Plousis and I just had our first phone call about that. So I would start by going back to what you said. We're communicating with one another. So we're starting to have these discussions on how do you do things like this and celebrate things like that and bring people together. We do it. We're doing it more often now as groups. Mm-hmm. So we're all on the same page. You have consensus. You move quicker. You make decisions quicker. You agree on those things. So we just last week started having the discussion. So he's putting his committee together. We're going to be part of that because when it comes to developing events around that, that's what we do.
Yeah.
So it's in its infancy right now, but will something be done? Yes, and in a grand scale.
Right. No question. So you have a lot of experience in the casino business, in the meetings and convention side. You worked at Bally's and Taj and a couple of others I know. How does that help you communicate with the people who are in charge of those now?
So not to Taj.
No. Okay.
The old Caesars Entertainment.
Okay.
You know what? I understand the business side of it. So with that comes right, wrong, whatever, credibility of understanding the flow of business, and I'll give you some examples of that. Need periods. Do you understand value of an occupied guest room?
Right.
What day of the week and time of the year is most important to have this person in that room that drives the most money to this destination? It's really, you know, it sounds easy. It's a complicated. So I come from the hotel and casino industry with a lifetime career in that. I understand what they need. So, for example, why did we move the air show from July to the weekend after Memorial Day? Well, we need it the weekend after Memorial Day.
Right.
One, it has to move to a weekend if you want to build that event and get things like jet teams. And when can the industry support that, and when does it help them most? Well, it helps them during a softer time period. July's busy. July's sold out. You have the World Cup coming in. It's going to be through the middle of July. So I understand, you know, the need periods and how the gaming industry works.
Right.
So with that has come partnerships. You know, we talk to the Casino Association on a regular basis as we talk about what entertainment needs to be developed. What are you interested in? What works best? How do you support what and what do you support, where we point our staff to, our messaging from our marketing team. We share that with all of the properties every month, at least every quarter, with the Casino Association and other business groups in the area. We're involved in the chamber. We're involved in all of these because what we do affects everybody.
Right, right.
Our marketing team meets with all the properties and all the marketing entities monthly. Our sales team meets with the properties on a monthly basis. So we're all communicating the same message.
Okay, great, great. So last question. 5 years from now, when the casinos are open in New York, when the competition is all in place, where would you like Atlantic City to be at that point?
Still winning. I truly believe that we're doing the right things right now. You know, the state of New Jersey acknowledges this. They're here. They're supporting it. The industry is stepping up. Investors are here. We changed the fabric. In 5 years, the fabric of this city has changed a little bit. You know, you have visitors coming 12 months a year. It'll be more diversified visitor. You already have that occurring now, right? You come here for a lot of different reasons. We just finished a visitor profile study that did a full examination of why people come, why don't they come, how are travel habits changed. And now we'll be doing that on a more regular basis so we can track that. We have great data that we're collecting at visitatlanticcity.com. Mm-hmm. And you see our messaging everywhere. It's driving you there so we can collect information on who the new visitor is, who's our future visitor, and what do they want to see when they come here. So all that's part of an ongoing plan. The investment in beautification of the city that started and will continue to come is probably the most important thing we can do because we shouldn't be – gaming's a major part of this, obviously,
right.
But we need to continue to diversify why you visit. And that's why you see entertainment exploding. You saw Taste Atlantic City, right, the first time we've done a food – I don't want to say the first time. It's a reinvented process for Restaurant Week that we did the same way here for 20 years.
Right.
You know, it's one of the events we decided to take ownership of. And what did you do? We called it Taste Atlantic City. We branded it. We found out that 70% of the people that attended that stayed over.
Yeah.
And that's the goal of that. You know, we had 80 restaurants participating. We increased the contribution to let them eat through the food bank, Atlantic County here, by 20%. There's so many good things came of it. Now it's its own brand within Atlantic City, where Visit Atlantic City. So we're going to keep thinking like that and keep looking at new things and taking risks and chances because that's how you create things like that.
Right.
Our new air show, which we had 200,000 people come to this year. Beach concerts are back. Part of our, you know, program and process is to pull more business into Boardwalk Hall. You mentioned it used to be the top mid-sized venue. We're going to get there again. And all those things change who the visitor is in 5 years, change who lives here, why you live here. And I'm very bullish on the future of Atlantic City.
Yeah, great, great. Well, Gary, congratulations on what you've accomplished here in just a short time with Visit Atlantic City. But I think it's really going to improve and move forward over the next few years. Certainly, hopefully, everybody will be on the same page and we'll be able to get the non-gaming amenities that will keep people coming here even when there's gaming down the street from them in New York City.
I think so, and thank you. You know what? Everybody here is very passionate about the success of this city, the region, you know, and our messaging is regional because what happens here affects everybody. We're very passionate and we are determined to keep this city positioned as a viable destination for all those business segments.
Sure. No question. Thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Thanks for joining us on the GGB podcast. To learn more about the topics discussed today and all the important issues in gaming, check out the Global Gaming Business Magazine. For a free virtual copy of the magazine, subscribe at ggbmagazine.com. To stay current with the daily news of the gaming industry, subscribe for free to the Global Gaming Monitor at igamingbusiness.com. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB podcast.